So the gospel that Luke provides for us today has this powerful sense of the longing of the people of God being finally fulfilled, as we see these two figures of Simeon and Anna, faithful, prayerful, devout people who have been faithful to the Lord, and now all of their hopes and dreams are being fulfilled as the Holy Spirit rests upon them, and the power of this child, this little 8-day-old child, is beginning to be fulfilled in their lives. What that longing goes back to is, of course, the other main figure in the readings today, Abraham, our father in faith. We meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And there he's told by the Lord who appears before him to leave behind your land and your kindred and go to a land that I will show you. Now, the very next verse in Genesis 15, verse 3, we're told that Abraham did leave the land behind, but he took with him his nephew Lot. Why? Because he's childless. He and Sarah have not been able to conceive a child. So scholars say that he brings Lot along as kind of an insurance policy. Lot is there to at least have an heir that is of his own kindred, that is part of his own bloodline. And so things continue as they go and make their way into the land of Canaan, and they begin to settle there, and a famine strikes. Interesting, isn't it? A famine prevents them from settling into the land that the Lord has told them to go and inhabit, because Abraham still remains unfaithful. He's still not completely fulfilling what the Lord has asked him to do. And all kinds of adventures ensue as he goes down to Egypt and passes off his wife Sarah as his sister, and all kinds of weird things happen. And then eventually he makes his way back to the land of Canaan, and there he separates from Lot. And it's only after he separates with Lot that in Genesis 14, this mysterious figure of Melchizedek marches onto the pages of the scriptures and offers to Abraham this blessing. And in return, Abraham then provides to Melchizedek a tenth of all that he has owned. And that then sets the scene for the first of these covenants that the Lord makes with Abraham here in Genesis 15. So the Lord made this promise back in Genesis 12, and he begins to fulfill it now that Abraham begins to be faithful to what God has asked of him, to leave behind all of those attachments, leave behind all of those things that you want to identify yourself with. It's only now that he's separated from Lot that he's able to enter into the covenant. There's a series of three covenants that the Lord makes with Abraham. Here in Genesis 15, he promises the land. In Genesis 17, he promises a kingdom. And in Genesis 22, after the Akedah sacrifice of his son Isaac, then he offers to Abraham the blessing of a multitude of nations, and this whole sense of the blessing of generations. Each of these are then fulfilled later in history. The land is fulfilled in the Mosaic covenant with Moses in the book of Exodus. Then the blessing of the kingdom is fulfilled with the covenant that is made to King David. And then finally, the blessing of the whole multitude is fulfilled in the person of Jesus, as we see it brought into the temple today in this second chapter of Luke. But what Abraham does is significant. We call him our father in faith, and indeed Abraham is identified as such by the three great religions that take this monotheistic stance towards God: Judaism, Islam, and we as Christians. And yet he is this complex character, a man who wants to do the right thing but struggles to do it, who's a man mixed with all kinds of other things happening, all kinds of history that still is there present in his life and that prevents him from being free to completely trust in the Lord. even now as this covenant is being made with him, Abraham argues back, saying, well, Lord, I want to see some evidence of this. You've promised me that I will be the father of a great nation, and yet Sarah continues to be childless. How can I trust in a God who's like this? The only heir, we're told, is one of his servants, who's named in the scriptures but not named for some reason in our lectionary today. And this sense of Abraham struggling with faith. And it's that I really want to reflect on today. This powerful way that Abraham, the father in faith, yes, this man of great devotion, but a man who struggled, a man who didn't find it easy just to trust in the Lord. A man perhaps like Joseph, who in being invited to be the adopted father of the Messiah, the Son of God, must have also struggled with this whole sense of, but Lord, how can I do this? How can I be faithful to this? How can I possibly be the one that you have called me to be, to father this child, to adopt this child into my own lineage and in the blessings of the house? Faith isn't something that just is meant to come naturally and easily. It's meant to be something that we do fight with, that we do struggle with, that we do try and contend with God. So many of the examples in Scripture of people who have indeed had to fight to find what it is that they believe in. If we, at the end of this year, continue to struggle with certain issues or questions, do not be afraid about that. So many people across the centuries have done exactly the same. So many others have struggled to believe. And so it is for us this call to place our trust in the Lord, just as Abraham does. He's invited, as the Lord makes covenant with him, to go outside and to look up into the sky. Now, we often imagine, of course, that this scene happens at night. But we're here in Genesis 15, verses 5 and 6, but it's only in verse 12 that we're told that the sun begins to set. So it's broad daylight when Abraham is invited to go out and count the number of the stars. How many stars do you see in broad daylight? Well, if it's not cloudy, you see the one. You don't see the multitude of all of the array of heaven laid there before you. Abraham's invited to trust, just as sometimes, because there is this powerful light present in the daytime, we're not able to see the stars. We know they're there. We know that they're hidden behind the overwhelming power of the sunlight. And so also Abraham is invited to trust in God's promises, to trust that there will be a time when he's able to see finally the fulfillment of all of these desires. So with us, the Lord is faithful. The Lord will come through with his promises. But sometimes, like when we look and try and count the number of stars in the middle of the daytime, we're unable to do it because our eyes are not able to see beyond that curtain of light. So we're invited to continue to trust in the Lord, to do all that the law of the Lord requires of us, to just do our little part and the Lord will do the rest. Abraham is considered great, not because of all the things that he achieved, but simply because in the end he decided to let go and let the Lord do what he had promised in his life. The Lord was faithful. The Lord promised that Abraham would have a child with Sarah, and indeed that was true. So also with us, the Lord will do his work. All that we need to do is to let him and to surrender in faith, in confidence and trust, and let God do the rest.